B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another week of Checkpoint Daily. On today's show, we'll follow up with the EVGA cars that have been bricked by Amazon's The New World. Also, Final Fantasy 16 prioritizing a language that you may not have thought about. And also, a look at what some of the former Blizzard and Diablo developers have been saying about the latest Activision Blizzard scandal. And we talk about what the best games of 2021 have been so far, according to a couple people. Let me do that again. Who was it? It was GQ and who else, Robin?
Oh, GQ and GameSpot.
Okay. Hey, everybody, welcome to another week of Checkpoint Daily. On today's episode, we follow up with the EVGA 3090s getting bricked by The New World. Also, Final Fantasy 16 prioritizing a language you didn't probably think about. Also, the follow-up to the Blizzard revelations. A few executives and former executives speaking out about the latest harassment scandal. And we close the show on talking about some of the best games of 2021, according to GQ?
GQ, that's right.
This is Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news. Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? Your host, Norris Howard here. As always, happy Monday to everybody out there. Also, I felt like it was a holiday, but
it does feel a little. Maybe it's because of the weather.
Yeah, it was so nice. Like, we had literally a tornado on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then it was perfect, literally perfect yesterday. And today somehow has found a way to be even more perfecter.
More perfecter. I love it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I mean, there's a little humidity, but I took a walk this morning, and you know what?
It's brisk.
It was nice. It was a nice little walk.
Don't worry. By the weekend, I'm sure it'll be raining fire.
Thank you, Robbie.
It's been terrible, man. Like, it has been absolutely... Like, did the Yellowstone caldera blow up or something, like, that we don't know about? Because I feel like
that's something we'd probably know about, Norris.
But I feel like this is the strangest weather year we've ever had.
Hey, climate change.
How much did they know about Chernobyl when that happened? Let's be honest. If they're trying to cover something up.
I mean, we knew about Chernobyl, like, when it happened.
I know, but, like, what truly did we know about it while it was happening? Until this point.
They made a great many documentaries about it, Chad.
Now?
No, then.
There's still a lot of stuff that people
don't know about Chernobyl when it happened. What are you talking about?
My point is they tried to cover it up.
I mean, yeah, it was Russia.
And there's a lot of stuff that they didn't know until later.
It was the Soviet Union. Of course they tried to cover it up. Anyway, Chad Callahan is here, if you didn't notice by the ridiculous statement said before 3 minutes into the show.
If you want to hear more ridiculous statements, I did just play Death's Door on my other podcast, the First 30 Video Game Review, available everywhere.
Do you review the first 30 minutes of every video game?
So we just take new games, we just play the first 30, and there's a cutoff point, and then we decide at the very end whether or not continue the game.
But what if?
I mean, some games might be good after 30 minutes. We will never know.
What if you play a game like League where one game takes longer than 30 minutes?
We're not going to focus on, like, multiplayer games. That doesn't count.
Quit out!
You can't play those. You have to do, like, single player or, like, you know, cooperative story games is what we focus on. So let me...
All right.
So the little caveat.
Fine. Robbie Landis is also here. Hi, Robbie.
What's up?
You all right?
Yeah, it's, you know, Chad's just always bringing the hype.
I had hype. You were throwing down today.
I
have no hype, and you're the one that's like, well, I have hype today.
It's not hype. It's cheap heat is what it is. It's just a thing to rile us up and get us mad at him.
I brought said hype.
There was subtext in the way that I said hype.
I know it was. I know it was.
Okay, what's your hype today, Robbie?
Hey, we're here. Another day.
Thank you for that hype.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. But anyway, with all I say, here's what's happening in the world of video games. So
So we start off with the whole Amazon New World bricking 3090s debacle. I can't imagine. I cannot imagine if I had spent like over $2,000 on a graphics card to have a game brick it. Like, I actually don't know what I would do,
especially
with my life.
Afterwards, it would be almost impossible to find another one, even if you had another $2,000.
But luckily, good guy EVGA is actually looking to replace. They said all failed 3090s will be replaced by them.
Wow.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like normally when it comes to stuff like this, you get into a match between the developers and the hardware manufacturers trying to blame each other for the issue happening. So it's really cool to see EVGA kind of come out the gate and be like, no, don't worry. We got you guys. We got you.
Well, let's be honest. Do you really want to go against Amazon?
I mean, not even just that, though. I just think it's a great look for the company itself, right? Because, listen, graphics cards are arguably the most expensive thing anybody has ever... the most expensive video game-related thing almost anybody is going to buy. The only people who really go out and buy these graphics cards are serious gamers and video editors. Yeah. Those are the only people that buy these things. And to be perfectly honest, I think this is a good look for them because if anything, people are going to say, you know what? I'm a little bit more willing to go out and spend $2,000 on the graphics card from this company because I know there may be a high chance that I could just get it replaced.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a time where, Robbie, as you said, that a lot of graphics cards are simply just impossible to find. For them to say, and let's be honest, the number of the cards they will have to replace is probably not that many.
Fair, yeah. It's not like you're looking at replacing a crap ton of them. But to your point, Chad, this EVGA did not have to do this. This was on Amazon's. This was Amazon's fault because they patched the game to fix the issue.
Yeah.
So 100% EVGA could have just went like, this is on Amazon.
Here's the thing I think EVGA had to think about. Amazon also sells their products.
Yep.
So it's like, don't bite the hand that feeds you a little bit there. Yeah. So I'm sure they had a big meeting about like how to handle the situation, and this was the best course of action. And honestly, it was
for all we know, EVGA could have just been like, just give us the money and we'll replace the cards.
Amazon. Yeah. I mean, you know, who knows?
It's
free PR for them regardless.
Exactly.
But looking at in the past when things have gone down like this, I remember a time where whenever I wanted to swap back and forth between, I forget what single-player game I was playing at the time, and then Overwatch, there was an issue with my graphics card drivers where Blizzard was saying, it's not our problem. And the graphics cards manufacturer saying, well, it's not our problem either. So every time I wanted to switch games, I had to reinstall different drivers from different dates and times because neither of them would try and fix the problem.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a step in the right direction. I think this is a great idea. It's good. Like we said, it's free PR for EVGA and way to just make yourself look like a good guy. Mm-hmm. In a time where your product has been notoriously hard to get, way to make yourselves look good.
Especially in a time when we see a lot of gaming companies not being the good guys.
Not being the good guys, which we will
get to.
We're getting to that. Also, Final Fantasy 16, the producer Naoki Yoshida, also known as Yoshi P to those of us who play Final Fantasy 14, the lead producer, excuse me, I was about to call him director, lead producer on Final Fantasy 16 has said that the English recording of Final Fantasy 16 is taking precedent over the Japanese one.
Interesting.
That is very interesting. He says specifically it is going to be British English, which, based on the setting, is not surprising.
Here's a couple reasons why I think that, because India and England are both huge gaming places, and that would be the British English.
Yep.
And then, obviously, Americans can understand that, so it's not a big deal for that. So that's actually an interesting way to do it.
I think it's interesting because generally as a Japanese company, you record everything in Japanese first, then you localize for English. Yeah. Usually the way Square Enix does it is they localize for English, French, and German.
I'm wondering if this is a way to maybe also try to get ahead of the localization process so when it's eventually ready to ship, you don't have to worry about delays based on just that.
And on top of that, I honestly think they want to probably do simultaneous worldwide release. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, you got to have a game in English. And beyond that, for all we know, they may even be looking at a Western release first, which would not be a crazy concept.
It would be interesting because PS5 could use that.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
And Sony could have made a phone call to say, we really need something to push this thing in Western markets because a lot of people are buying them.
Ratchet and Clank ain't doing it.
Yeah. Ratchet and Clank ain't doing
to
it.
To be fair, Sony, Ratchet and Clank would do it. It's just that nobody can find your consoles.
I was just saying, I've been hearing really good things about Ratchet and Clank. But again, it is only, what, like a 30-hour game, if that. I don't know how long it is. But like, and then once it's gone, you have nothing.
You get over there, Norris?
I'm good.
Drop to your monitor a little bit.
I was trying to move my monitor so I could see Robbie, but I fucked it up. Listen, as English speakers, I think it's cool. But another thing that a lot of people are not thinking about is that video games are now using the technology to where the faces match.
Motion capture.
The motion capture matches what people are actually saying. And it is interesting that they would do that and get all that development out of the way for English first.
Yeah.
As opposed to Japanese.
Do they do different motion captures for English versus other languages?
I think it's on a game-by-game basis.
I mean, I wasn't sure if it was like anime where they take it's like it's just a dub over, but they kind of don't have it match either language, so that way it's as best it can
be. For the AAA games, yes, they're matching the motion capture to the languages. I believe, strangely enough, Cyberpunk pioneered a technology in which the AI would hear which language is being spoken and match the mouth movements of the characters to that language.
Very interesting.
So I'm not sure if anything that sophisticated is being applied here, but it is interesting. It is very interesting. I think Yoshida is also seeing what is happening with 14 over here and, how the Western audience is really gravitating towards that. You can't tell me that the Western audience doesn't have a huge impact on all things Final Fantasy. We know Japan loves it and all that good stuff. But I think it's interesting, and they probably will. Listen, I'm going to buy it. I'm excited for it. I just need them to hurry up and let me be able to buy a PS5, Sony.
That's the important part.
Let me buy a PS5. Right. That would be nice.
So also in the wake of everything that's been coming out of Activision Blizzard with the state of California suing them over their workplace discrimination, which is some of the absolute worst stuff we've seen out of the gaming industry in ever, I think, probably.
Yeah.
Social media for all Blizzard property has been completely radio silent. There's been rumors now that even like internally, like the work that's being done, there is none. Like everything's been put on hold. And the only thing that we've heard is from now ex or former Blizzard higher ups. Both the ex-Blizzard boss Mike Morhaime made his statement on social media, as well as Chris Metzen, who is the Diablo co-creator and was a former senior vice president of story and franchise development. And basically both of them are coming up and saying, like, we failed you. Like women at Blizzard, if this is the culture that is there now, if this is what the company has turned into, even though we're not there anymore, like it's still on us. Morhaime even going so far as to saying he's going to use what influence he can to try and affect change. We'll see if that means anything. But it's great to see these comments, but it's also really easy to just type up, a page of platitudes and put it out there.
Yeah.
It's tough because I think Asmongold had one of the best responses to it, because it's one of the things that you hate the fact that it happened, but at the same time, not supporting Blizzard and Activision means that all those people who work for Blizzard and Activision will eventually be let go because if we're not buying their games.
Yeah.
So it's this weird kind of, you're mad, but you don't know
what
to do.
What do you really do?
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, that part of it doesn't factor into my decision making. I don't really want to play the games. I don't really want to buy the games. And listen, that's how you got to view it, is that, okay, yes, there are, I'm sure, thousands of very nice people who don't harass people who work at Blizzard, who want to just go to work and do their jobs. Okay, but the assholes who were doing all this stuff have ruined that for you. And, for lack of a better term, We deal with that in daily life all the fucking time. We got a bunch of people crying about vaccines and all this other stuff. Okay, we're still having that conversation because there's a group of people who don't want to do it, fucking it up for everybody else. So we still masking up in some places. We still can't travel as freely as we would like to. That's how life works, okay? And, you know, I think it's messed up, and I understand that feeling. But when is the last time somebody bought a fucking game because the people who work at the company are nice? That's, people don't buy video games for that fucking reason.
No, but
so
they,
you don't not buy video games for that fucking reason. I'm sorry. That's not...
I think there might be some people who might not buy it because it's kind of like the situation where it's like you find out an artist, that a music artist you like is a scumbag. And now you're like, well, great. Now I can't listen to their music. I mean, and then you have that weird situation where it's like, well, do you separate the artist from the game or the music? I don't know.
No, because here's the thing. Everybody was talking about Kanye and Kanye's shit last week. I refuse to participate in the Kanye hype machine, okay? Because because Kanye is sick.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm not gonna participate in it. I didn't listen to the album. I wasn't in the stream. I don't care. I don't talk about him on Twitter, whatever. But that's my decision and I stuck to it. Same thing with the R. Kelly shit. I haven't listened to any of his music in years. My life is not all of a sudden defunct because I don't listen to R. Kelly and Kanye anymore.
I think the difference here is like this is that's a personal decision that you've made. And I'm in the same boat with you, Norris. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say that. But having a platform like say that, you know, a lot of creators have and then going out and chastising, doing all this stuff instead of it just like playing out where it needs to.
In the courts.
It's kind of tough.
But I mean, but at the same time, this is so egregious and so serious, in my opinion.
It doesn't need to be talked about.
First of all, how can you not talk about it? And second of all, if you are a content creator who has made your way on their products, how do you not say that and not make yourself look like you just have an intense conflict of interest?
Yeah.
Right? How do you then, let's say, Robbie, if you exclusively worked for the Overwatch League, right? And I'm not talking about just as a personality. I understand that they're on a very different, you know, that has nothing to do with like Overwatch League in particular, right? This is another issue. But let's say you are a content creator and you do just Overwatch and that's what you've made your money
on. Let's use Asmongold as the perfect example. Yep. He made his name through World of Warcraft. Now, I don't know if he saw something in the tea leaves or not, but you know he managed to make a great pivot at the perfect time over to Final Fantasy 14. But I mean, even you know, I've even been seeing things pop up on my YouTube feed now of you know content creators that I didn't really watch, but probably because I have you know World of Warcraft in my algorithm, they're popping up now. But people who had dedicated themselves solely to World of Warcraft that are calling it quits now because of what's happening.
Yeah.
So
but
I mean,
do you chastise the people who don't? Because let's be honest, if that's your livelihood.
That
you have a family to support.
Look, people,
that's tough.
You have a deeply personal choice to make now.
I guess it's true.
And regardless of what anyone thinks, I don't think that there's any you know in the world right or wrong thing here. There are some people who are going to judge you based on the decision.
On what decision?
One way or another.
One way or another.
And you're going to have to reap you know whatever those consequences are.
So to me, the way I view it is that if people are going to judge you one way or another, you might as well be on the side of right.
I guess.
That's just how I feel. If you're going to be pissed off at me for saying like scumbag employees at Blizzard have made it bad for everybody and now a bunch of people don't want to play their games, I would rather be on that side than be on the, you know, false accusations. What about presumed innocence?
I
don't want to be in that camp.
I'm not going to come at you for, you know, refusing to potentially give up your livelihood.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. That's
where I'm coming from.
But you better know exactly where you stand.
Yeah.
Be ready to deal with what some of the consequences are. And don't go judging or hating on other people for the decisions
for
that
the
they
opposite
make.
Decision.
You know what? I like that. I can respect that.
Well, and the last thing I want to say about the statements of these particular CEOs and executives and stuff like that is that Morheim in particular left the company in 2019. The investigation started in 2019.
Also keep in mind too that Morheim, it's on record that he had to talk to one of the main offenders,
one of the named offenders,
Frasabi or whatever his name is, a few times, and basically told him, like, you know, behave yourself. So yeah. Morheim had more than enough, I think, evidence and I think opportunity to deal with some of those problems.
And this is the problem, is you got somebody as powerful as Morheim. Metzen, I don't know how close he was to this, da 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 da. But the point is that Morheim was with the company when
you
most
knew
of
what
this
was going on
was
in
happening.
Your house.
Do you know why he left? Or did he just.
I'm pretty sure he retired.
He helped found a company.
He did. Maybe he also saw the tea leaves, and you know, especially when it happened, was like, you know what, it's time to get out. This isn't the company that I created. Who knows what?
Yeah.
Point is, whether he got out the right time, whether he got out for the right reason,
he knew
he was still culpable.
He knew he was culpable. He was privy to the situation. And here's the last thing I want to say is that I really hate feigned ignorance. I hate if this is the culture that was cultivated, I'm deeply sorry and shit like that. I hate those statements. I would rather you say we knew and we failed to act. Okay? Because that's what happened. You talk to the guy. I'm sorry. After you talk to somebody more than once about sexual harassment, they should be fired instantly.
Yeah.
And secondly, I pulled some numbers just for context. Blizzard has 4,700 employees. That is less than average university campus.
Also,
right?
I would like everyone to keep in mind, too, because I've also seen a few things over, you know, the internet, you know, things about people being like, oh, well, you know, if you boycott, there's a bunch of other workers there who you're affecting as well, and blah, 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 blah. Keep in mind that Blizzard has had two record years, 2019
and
2020,
and they still let people go.
Massive cuts.
That's fair.
Right. So even when they're doing well and you're supporting them, the little people, the people who are just, you know, putting their nose to the grindstone, just trying to make a living, are still getting
so
hurt.
So this is what I'm saying, like, Chad, to your original point, is that fuck that ideology. It's dumb. That's a cop out. What about the other people who are when you bought the game, you didn't say, well, I'm also paying the harassers. So you can't have it both ways. Cannot have it both ways.
Either one way.
And so I brought up those two numbers to say I have been or I have seen, not physically been on college campuses, but I have read news stories in which people have lost lives or committed suicide on college campuses, and everything on that college campus stops. And we do an investigation and we figure out what the fuck happened.
Yeah.
Are you meaning to tell me that somebody on a business trip can commit suicide due to harassment and everything in the company didn't stop and get to the bottom of what happened, talk to everybody then and there, put out a statement, talk about this whole thing? I'm sorry, Morheim is just as responsible and culpable.
How long ago was that?
That's this year.
The suicide was this year?
Oh, no. I believe that was a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I believe that was a couple years ago. But the point stands is that 5,000 people is not enough people to where somebody could commit suicide and no one knows anything about it.
Yeah.
That's not big enough. So I'm still continually being disgusted by the story. We haven't heard anything outside of the initial we'll take our ball and go home statement from Activision Blizzard. What a great week for Overwatch League to be off. Because listen, I would not want to be in that chat when it starts back up. Overwatch
League. Remember the
Blitzchung
thing?
Yeah.
Alone?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that is.
Yeah. And this
that
is.
Look, they
and this is significantly worse.
Completely shut down all Blizzard related social media to try and minimize it.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. So. I mean, guys, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not saying the company's kaput. This isn't the end of Blizzard, because all they got to do is release one more hit and people will be back in.
Yep.
The only thing they need to do is a heavy restructuring, and that's the best case scenario.
What the fuck were you doing fucking cube crawls? It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Anyway, that's going to be it for part one. In part two, we're going to talk about some of the best games of 2021, according to Gentleman's Quarterly. So we'll be back with more Checkpoint Daily.
Bring the heat. Share your thoughts on socials with us at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. You could even be featured on tomorrow's show.
Sup, nerds? We're back with more Checkpoint Daily. Do not forget, the search for the next Rocket League team is still ongoing. So if you and two friends feel like you have what it takes to be a Rocket League professional, make sure that you all head over to BeasleyEsports.gg/Rocket League. You can sign up there. The next round of qualifiers will be August 7th and 8th. So make sure that you guys are signed up before then for your chance to be an actual real-life professional Rocket League player. This is not a joke.
Yeah, and then we'll talk about you on the show.
And then we'll talk about you. And if you're bad,
we'll also talk about you.
Now, Robbie, you brought to our attention that Gentleman's Quarterly, also known as GQ, in conjunction with, what was it, GameSpot?
Well, actually, I have two separate articles.
We have two.
Here.
Okay, yep. Awesome.
One from GQ, and then just to lend a little bit of credit to the segment, one from GameStop as well.
All right, that's cool. And so what we have here is the best games of 2021 so far.
So far.
So far. And, you know, I want to try to guess a few, and then maybe we could run through the list. But we always love lists because I always try to figure out what have I not played yet.
What should you be looking at?
What should I be looking at?
According to GQ.
Which means if you want to be a stylish man, you must play these video games.
Yeah, so I need you guys to put yourself in the mindset of the stylish gentleman gamer.
That's right.
Okay.
Me, basically. Put yourself in Norris's shoes.
Oh, is that what it is?
And figure out what should you be playing. Now, here's the hardest part with me is that I be forgetting what came out this year.
I know. I'm literally looking up all the games.
Some of these might fall a little bit more even into late 2020.
Okay. Right? Okay.
So just keep that in mind. Just what have people been playing this year, right?
All right.
There are some things on here that you're never in a million years going
to
guess, and here's a cheap one.
Here's a cheap one. Integrate.
No, it's not.
Oh, here's one that I think is even cheaper than that because if it's based off of GQ,
really, Integrate was more DLC.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
I'm gonna say Madden.
No, there's no Madden. There is
stylish enough.
Hold on, there
is a sports game on one of these lists, but it's not on GQ's. Actually, all right. Technically, there's two sports games. I'm gonna give you one of them.
Okay,
this is from GQ's list. All right, Clap Hans Golf. On iOS devices only.
So it's that kind of list.
They say if you have any nostalgia whatsoever for Hot Shots Golf franchise, apparently you will get it out of this. And it looks like the screenshot they have is it looks like the old dude from Up is playing golf in like the Alps mountain range, and has what looks like Daisy from Mario as his caddy.
Okay. All right. I have one.
Okay, go.
Resident Evil Village.
Resident Evil Village is on both lists.
As it should.
Yep.
The fuck has come out this year?
I know. I'm looking at a few.
I don't know. Guilty Gear Strive.
Guilty Gear Strive is actually on GameStop's list.
I expect that. I expect a more gamer-leaning to know about that one. All right. That's fair.
I want to say... Wait, did this come out? This is probably later.
Look, if it's close, it's fine.
Yeah, if it's close, it's
Assassin's
okay.
Creed Valhalla?
No.
It was late 2020?
Did not end up on there. Here's another one from GQ that you're probably not going to get on Oculus Quest. The Climb 2.
Which is
apparently about scrambling and leaping across mountains and skyscrapers.
Okay.
So it's a parkour game.
Yep, I guess.
That sounds really weird.
Knockout City?
Knockout City is indeed on the GameStop list.
Their list is already way better.
Like I said, we needed to give a little bit of actual credit to this segment. So, you know, we picked up the GameStop one as well. But again, they do actually share a few of them, such as Resident Evil Village. And if you guys have yet to guess,
Okay.
Here we go. Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Ooh.
Not on either of them, unfortunately.
Really? Bullshit! That game is fucking great.
What about MLB The Show? That's that sports one? Is that the sports
MLB
one?
MLB The Show 21 is on the GameStop.
I'm trying to figure out the GQ one.
The GameSpot list.
What the fuck is on the... All right.
That's all of the sports games.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
so
all the sports games.
Clap Hans Golf and MLB The Show. Those
Pokemon
are the only
Snap.
the only good sports games worth playing.
Yeah, Chad said Pokemon Snap.
Negative.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, my last one that's coming to me is Subnautica.
Nope.
Really?
Subnautica is an older game, isn't it?
Is it?
No, Subnautica just came to the Switch.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
Maneater.
Nope. I'm gonna give you a
All right, we'll get two more guesses each, and then
do you want any hints?
No.
Okay.
Two more guesses, and then we'll go through the list. So here's my next guess, and this is very much so my own guess. Chivalry 2.
Wrong.
Mario Golf. Super Rush.
I told you there's no more,
sports games.
I forget that is a sports game.
Damn it, Chad.
One each.
I wasted it.
All right, we got one each. Oh, wait, I got a last guess. Flight Simulator.
Oh, that's a good one.
No. Damn, what?
What is on this list?
They mapped the whole Earth.
Ratchet and Clank.
Ratchet and Clank is on both lists.
We mentioned
it
earlier.
Okay, let's go through the list. Give us the rest of the GameSpot list.
All right, so from the top, we had MLB The Show 21, Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart, Little Nightmares 2.
Oh, that's a good one.
Resident Evil Village, Knockout City, Before Your Eyes, which is apparently a simple yet powerful indie-looking game
that I've never heard of.
Is it a scurry game?
But it looks like it might be...
Is it a scurry game?
It looks like it might be... There might be some spookiness to it. All right.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's cutesy.
It actually kind of reminds me a little bit of Psychonauts, but less young characters.
Got it.
Hitman 3 is on both of these lists, which
really?
I wouldn't have put...
Hitman
was fine... But, like, I finished it in, like, under 10 hours.
I can see it being on GQ.
I feel like I play a Hitman game and I'm never satisfied. Mm.
I mean, a lot of people like it.
You actually might like the newer one if you're into, like, the replay value of things. Because there's so many different ways
I mean, I am. That's what I loved about the Hitman games. But it just don't do it for me. I finish a Hitman game and then I'm just like,
yeah, I don't want to go back and
I don't want to go back
and play it a different way.
Like, you know, I get that feeling of I can't get my time back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Returnal was on both the list.
Returnal, duh.
Yep.
That was a good one.
We don't have PS5, so it doesn't come
That's
to
what
our
it
mind.
Is. Yeah, we're stupid.
This is another game that I've only just recently started seeing a lot about, and it's available on everything. Chris Tales.
Oh, that just came
about
out.
That too. Yeah, Chris Tales.
I want to do that.
From what I've been reading, it apparently is sort of spiritual successor type deal to like Final Fantasy JRPG type stuff.
It feels
but
a
with
lot
a type,
like
with some type of like time, like Prince of Persia time mechanic.
It feels a little bit like the closest thing that I got a comparison for is like Chrono Trigger, Chrono Cross.
It has a great art style too. It does.
It's really
terrific.
Fun. I'm excited. We're actually going to play that in our next first 30.
Sweet.
Next is Famicom Detective Club, The Missing Heir and the Girl Who Stands Behind.
Really?
Yep, according to GameSpot.
What was it again?
The Famicom Detective Club. Like they
never
took
played
some,
those.
They
is that
took
like a series?
Old like murder mystery novel, visual novel games.
You know what? That doesn't shock me. How popular those types of podcasts are, turning them into a game like that—that's genius.
Yeah, that's
genius.
Actually really smart. I didn't even make that connection. All right, what's left?
We also have Chicory, A Colorful Tale, which I've been seeing a lot of people talking about on social media as well. It's a cute little adventure game where you play as like a little dog. You get to like paint the world.
Oh, okay. I have seen this.
It's Okami, but not combat.
Yep. Guilty Gear Strive. Persona 5 Strikers, Nier...
How did I miss Persona 5 Strikers? You know what? It feels like it came out last year. That's why I didn't say it. But Persona 5 Strikers, like, easily my top three game of the year.
Really?
We have Nier Replicant version 1.224.
Wait, no, don't go through that.
Super Mario 3D World and Bowser's Fury.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And finally, the last one on GameSpot, Monster Hunter Rise.
I just don't want to play Monster Hunter on my Switch. I just don't want to do it. All right, GQ, what the hell did these people pick?
So the first one, Mundon.
What?
Mundon.
Self-described lovingly penciled horror tale that apparently released back in March. So it's set in a small town in Switzerland.
Yeah. I've seen this. Yeah, it's like super spooky.
I did not hear about it at all, but
I've seen this. Yeah.
Clap Hans Golf, an iOS game.
Okay.
The Climb 2 from the Oculus Quest. Overboard on the Nintendo Switch.
Okay.
Returnal, another iOS game called Fantasian.
Huh.
I don't like iOS games.
These are mobile games, so we're not...
I'm sorry, hold on. This is... A few of these obviously came from Apple, the Apple Games
thing. Apple Arcade. Yeah.
Apple Arcade, yeah, which I guess probably makes sense. But Fantasian, that is the Hirinobu Sakaguchi created one where all the things are painted. It Takes Two.
Mm-hmm.
Bowser's Fury again, Ratchet and Clank again, Resident Evil Village again, and finally Hitman 3.
Okay. I'm going to lean more towards the GameSpot one.
Like half of that lit of both lists, I'm like, really the best? But, you know.
So far.
But I'll say this, at least they're eclectic lists. At least there are lists that have many different types of games. They have.
There's some indies in there, which I always love.
Some indies in there, some mobile in there. So I all in all, you know. It's not that bad of a list. Neither are that bad of a list.
No.
So, listen, if you guys are interested in any of those games or have played any of those games, let us know via social media. That's at Checkpoint XP on Twitter, on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. And, you know, maybe it's one of those things that we could, like, play on stream or something like that. I'm always looking for ideas. Robbie's looking for ideas, all that good stuff. And you can join us on any of our individual Twitch streams. But with that said, that's going to be it for this episode of Checkpoint Daily. We'll be back here tomorrow, hopefully, with better news about everything. And
one can only hope.
And a better feeling about the world. For Chad Callahan and Robbie Landis, I am your host, Norris Howard, and we'll see y'all tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.